Okay, Shalom uvracha to everybody. Shavua tov. Welcome back to our Shmiras Halashon class learning. We'll begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Ribono shel Olam yiratzu b'fanecha rachum v'chanan shetizakenu hayom v'chol yom lishmar pi lishani milashon hara rechilis ezarim ledabra tefillah al shiachid v'kol shekena kaisa al achelik mehem kol sheken misrayim amidosav shal kol shbaruchu ezarim ledabra divrei sheker chanufa Machlokes kas gaiva onas tvarim habanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur asar v'zakein sholei dabur kim dabur hatzarich linane gufi v'nafshi v'yihuyu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amen v'amen. As always, we are learning l'zeichem l'ilui nishmas tzvi gershem v'nyo v'chan alav v'shalom, and we hope that this divrei Torah will be pleasing to the neshama and serve as an aliyah neshama for the neshama, as well as chus for the Aliyah and Zechira Neshama Latova, for Zevov Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem, and with your permission, continue to refuos and besuros tovos, and koach, and healing, siyata deshmai, for bracha v'gaya basracha geta besoch she'archo ve'Yisrael. So, we are in the middle of the Vilna Gaon's letter. Last time we learned about the prohibition of onas dvarim, verbal oppression, or verbal abuse, something that is frightening and very relevant, can be very, very relevant. That's what we spoke about last time. So we're going back to the letter of the Vilna Gaon. I have a sticky exactly where we are up to. So let me just remind you, okay? The Gaon of Vilna, Rav Eliyahu of Vilna, 1720 to 1797, was one of our nation's most brilliant and renowned Torah sages. He had a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael. And sometime between the year of 1759 to 1773, he set out to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a famous letter called the Igeres Hagra from the city of Königsberg, addressed his wife and family to give them guidance in his absence. It is replete with essential lessons for a life of modesty and piety. From the content of the letter, it seems that Gaon eventually intended to bring his family to Eretz Yisrael as well. For unknown reasons, he aborted the journey. He had to return to Vilna. Though he himself did not reach the Holy Land as he planned, he inspired his disciples, his students, to do so. They led the way for Ashkenazi settling of the land in the early 19th century. Before he departed, he sent a letter. It's with a lot of advice and a lot of musar to his family for their encouragement and guidance in his absence. A vast, strong majority of the letter is about Shmiras HaLashon and the power of speech. So I'm going to continue where we left off, okay? If you missed the earlier classes where we began the letter, they are online. I'm just going to take a zip, a bracha of which I made before I started. Says the Vilna Gaon, and this whole next section is entirely about Koach HaDibur, the power of speech. Of course, I am writing to you the words of the living God. These are Divrei Elokim Chayim Him. Words of the living God, that's what Hillel said. And it was winter time, and it was Tevis, and there was a snowstorm, and the guard wouldn't let him in to the base medrash to hear the words of Shmaya and of Talion because he couldn't afford to get inside. So he wanted to hear Divrei Elokim Chayim mipi Shmaya vav Talion, and that's why he went up to the window, to the skylight, to listen from above. The Vilna Gaon says, I am writing to you words of the living God. Therefore, I am certain you will follow all that I have written. Nevertheless, I must strongly advise you not to deviate from anything that I have written. The letter is in a sefer. I'm quoting from a sefer, by the way, called Great Jewish Letters by Rabbi Moshe Bamberger. There are certain sentences excerpted in the original Lashon HaKodesh. V'tikra es ha'igeres hazos b'chol shavua. You should read this letter every week. U'biprap b'shabbos. Especially read it on Shabbos. Kodem ha'achila u'betocha su'uda. Before you eat and in the middle of the meal. Shelo yidabru dvarim b'teilem chas v'sham. The Vilna Gaon says you should read the letter all the time, every week. But the special time to read the letter is on Shabbos. Before you sit down to eat and before the Shabbos su'uda. So that you remind yourselves not to speak wasted words. Shelo yidabru dvarim b'teilem chas v'sham. In English and the Sefer it's translated as read this letter every week, especially on Shabbos, before and during the meal, in order to prevent idle talk, and even worse, Lashon Hara and the like, God forbid. This week's Parsha, actually, so we see that Lashon Hara is always forbidden, And idle talk is always forbidden, but especially on Shabbos, you have to be even more careful because the day, again, it's always forbidden, but the day that is in essence a day of ultimate Kedusha, and transgressing Shemir Salashan, transgressing Inyani Shemir Salashan, is the epitome of Tumah. So on a day that is so saturated with Kedusha, with holiness, we must make sure to maintain the sanctity of the day. Actually, in this week's parsha, Parshas Ki Tisa, so funny how everything, the calendar always works out, the parshas tie in to where we're holding and what we're learning. I will screen share just to show you the brief passages, the brief passage in this week's parsha. It's right at the end of Perek Lamed Aleph in Sefer Shemos. It concludes Mishkan right before we begin the sin of Chet HaEgel. Actually, should say that it says here Shemos 31. Okay. So the Psukim tell us, Perek Lamed Aleph of Shemos, Parshas Ki Tisa, Pasuk Yud Beis, beginning Pasuk Yud Beis. Ve'am Hashem Moshe le'emor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, and you shall speak to the children of Israel saying, Ach eshabsosai tishmoru. We learn that Mishkan does not push off Shabbos. It's very important to build the Mishkan. But when Shabbos comes, you stop working on Mishkan. Ki osi beinu ve'nechem ador seichem. Shabbos is a sign between me and between you for the generations. La'das ki ini Hashem mikadishchem. You must know, and Shabbos reminds you, that I am your God who sanctifies you. U'shmartem es ha-Shabbos ki kodesh ilachem. And you shall guard the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Mechala mos yumas. Those who transgress the Sabbath day will surely die. Ki kala osu bo melecha v'nichrusa nefeshahim mikervama. Anyone who knowingly transgresses the Shabbos and knowingly does work, knowing that it is Shabbos, that soul will be cut off from the midst of her nation. Sheishas yamim yaseh melecha v'yamashvi Shabbos Shabbos and kodesh l'Hashem. For 6 days you shall do work. And on the seventh day, a cessation, a rest of rest, holy to God. Anyone who does work on the Shabbos day will surely die. Vishamu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. You might know these words from Shabbos morning Kiddush. And it's from Parshas Ki Tisa, this week's parsha. Vishamu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. The children of Israel guarded the Sabbath. La'asos es ha-Shabbos l'darosim b'ris olam. To do the Shabbos for generations. An eternal covenant. Beinu uvein v'nei Yisrael osi hili olam. Shabbos is a sign between me and the children of Israel. It is an eternal sign. For in 6 days Hashem made the heaven and the earth. On the seventh day he ceased and he rested. He ceased and he had a restoration of the soul. This is the passage in the end of Perek Lamed Aleph and Parshas Ki Tisa that tells us about the holiness of Shabbos. It is a sign between us and God for the generations. It reminds us that Hashem created the world. And on the seventh day, Shabbat, he ceased, cessation, la'yinafash, a restoration of the soul. This is what Shabbos brings to us. When we cease on Shabbos, cease from being involved with the whole world, la'yinafash, we have a restoration of the soul. And the Vilna Gaon says, of course, you should never talk Lashon Hara. Of course, you should never talk Dvarim B'Tehillim or forbidden words. But especially on Shabbos, which is a day so saturated with holiness, we must be sure to be extra on guard from poisonous speech. I want to quote Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, on this passage from Ki Tisa that we just saw. V'shmartem eser Shabbos ki kodesh ilacham. By Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal says as follows, and you shall guard the Sabbath because it is holiness to you. The word kodesh here, ki kodesh hilachem, is a noun. The phrase should not be translated as, you shall guard the Sabbath because it is holy unto you. Rather, it shall be translated, you shall guard the Sabbath because it is holiness to you. There's an equation between Shabbos and sanctity, between Shabbos and Kedusha. The Shabbos is the source of holiness. How do we derive Kedusha in our lives? From Shabbos. So imagine you come to Shabbos, the source of utmost Kedusha. And when you want to celebrate or observe, a better word, observe the Shabbos, you are holding in your hand the most unclean, unholy perversion. That's Lashon Hara. I'm giving myself Musar. I'm totally giving myself Musar. I think that it's frightening to me and disturbing to me how aware we are of the dangers of Shemir Salashan. No, the benefits of Shemir Salashan and the dangers of transgressing in Yanni Shemir Salashan.
Net Vater is so strong, it continues to fight us in ways that we might not even realize that after the deed has been done. And what am I going to answer in the Olam HaEmes? It's scary. It's a constant avoda we must always be working on. So you can't come to celebrate the epitome of Kedusha, Ki Kodesh Yidachem, while you're holding the most opposite of Kedusha in your hand, the most tumadik force in the world. So if we sit down to a Shabbos meal with family, with friends, with guests, and the conversation revolves around forbidden speech, whether it's leitzanos, mockery of other factions or types of Jews, something you read in the news that week about another group of Jews and we mock them, or we spread Lashon Hara, or there is anger at the table, ka'as. So we're coming to tap into the power of Shavat Vayinafash, cease from being involved with the world, in order to have a restoration of the soul from the Kedusha. But we're holding a Sheretz in our hand. How can we access Kedusha, or I should say a Sheretz in our mouth, with an abominable creature in our mouth? There is an equation, says our salvation, I'm giving Michal Eretz Masa this morning, between Shabbos and sanctity. The Shabbos is a source of holiness. There is therefore a commonality between Shabbos and the Mikdash, as Rav Salvechik. Rav Salvechik is speaking about the fact that in this week's Parsha, Ki Tisa, it's talking all about Mishkan. It's talking about the Machatzis HaShekel, Perek Lamed, beginning Pasuk, Yod or Yod Aleph, Perek Lamed. It's talking about the Shemen and Mishka, the anointing oil. It's talking about the Ketor Sosamim, the 11 spice mixtures for the incense golden altar, Mizbech HaKetores. It's talking about the Kior, the laver. Then all of a sudden it says Shabbos. What's Shabbos doing here? I'm talking about the Mikdash. I'm talking about the Mishkan. So our Salvechik says there is therefore a commonality, a common denominator between Shabbos and Mishkan. They're both sources of holiness. Shabbos is the essence of holiness, the source of holiness, and so is Mikdash. Why? Because that's where Hashem dwells. There exists both a sanctuary in space, Mishkan, Mikdash, and sanctuary in time, Shabbos. Of the two imperatives, Shabbos is clearly more significant. Otherwise, one would have been ordered to violate the Shabbos for the construction of the Mishkan. Shabbos, however, as a sanctuary is more significant than Mishkan as a sanctuary. Which supersedes which? Shabbos. You do not violate Shabbos to do Melechas HaMishkan. So Mishkan is very, very important. But Shabbos, I don't want to use the word more important. More lasting, more eternal. Clearly it's more lasting, more eternal. We haven't had a Mikdash for 2,000 years. We have Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, every single week. The temple, the Beit HaMikdash, is not indispensable for the survival of the people. But a Jew cannot survive without Shabbos, says the Rav. So if it's a day that's so holy and literally ensures our survival, how could we come to this day transgressing the Kedusha with Dibur that is forbidden? And you're going to see the Vilna Gaon here speaks about reading this letter specifically on Shabbos to prevent idle talk, Dvarim Batelim and Lashon Hara. And again, he's going to reiterate, which we already saw previously, he advises his daughters and the women to stay home, not to go to Shul. Because he says, in Shul, that's a place where you'll see things that make you jealous and will lead to idle chatter and will lead to Lashon Hara. That's how stringently, how strictly, how dangerously he views this realm of stumbling with our speech. Continues Rav Salvechik, the Yalkut Shimoni suggests there are three sanctifications on earth. Three bastions of holiness in this world. One is God's name. We can sanctify God's name. Two is Shabbos. And three, the people of Israel. Okay, so the Kedushas Hashem, Shabbos, and Am Yisrael. Three sanctifications. Yeah, we know of many other sanctifications. Rav says, what about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Is that not a sanctification? What about Kedushas Beis HaMikdash? Well, Suli Mikdash, the whole name of the Mikdash is called Kodesh. So we have other sanctifications. In fact, however, says the Rav, all other sanctifications in this world derive Kedusha from the first three. So everything that is holy in this world derives its Kedusha either from Kedushas Hashem, the sanctification of God's name, derives the Kedusha from Shabbos, or derives its Kedusha from Am Yisrael. He's quoting Yalkut Shimoni, 830. So the essence, the root, the foundation of all holiness are these three principles, and everything derives its Kedusha from these three. Kedusha Hashem, Shabbos, Am Yisrael. The land of Israel, Eretz Israel, and the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, were sanctified by the people of Israel. In contrast, the sanctification of Shabbos preceded the sanctification of Israel. In fact, the sanctification of Shabbos preceded creation of mankind. Adam is created in Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Adam Afra Min HaAdama, Vayivpach Ba'af of Nishmas Chayim, or Targum English, Vahavas Ba'adam Ruach Memalala. Man is not created until Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God blows into his nostrils the soul of life. Man becomes a living spirit. Says Targum English, he becomes a speaking spirit. But we're introduced to Shabbos, begins Perek Aleph Pasuk Lam and Aleph, into through Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. So if you recognize the words from Kitisa from Shabbos morning Kiddush, you recognize the words that I just say from Leil Shabbos Kiddush. So we see that Shabbos and the Kedusha of Shabbos preceded everything. It preceded Am Yisrael. It preceded the creation of man. It is God who sanctifies the Shabbos. No, but we don't sanctify Shabbos. We sanctify the days that will be Pesach. We sanctify the day that will be Shavuos. We sanctify the day that will be Rosh Hashanah. And Chag HaSukkos, we and Rosh Chodesh, we do not sanctify Shabbos. Shabbos sanctifies us. But it's a very important distinction. So if we have a gift of something that is Kulo Tahor and Kulo Kadosh, how could we in Shul speak Lashon Hara about somebody else we see? How can we sit down to a meal with friends, socializing, and the conversation turns to Lashon Hara? It's a complete debasement of the essence of what Shabbos is. In contrast, the sanctification of Shabbos precedes the sanctification of Israel, precedes the creation of Israel. It was God who sanctifies the Shabbos, and in turn, Shabbos sanctifies Klal Yisrael. Thus the words on the Friday night Amida begin. Friday night Shemoneh Esrei, right? You sanctify the seventh day for your name. Hashem is Mekadesh this day for the sake of his name. Because it was God who sanctified Shabbos. And in the morning, Amidah, which corresponds to Matan Torah. And Moshe brought down the two tablets and were written about the guarding of Shabbos. Signify the sanctification of Israel was realized through the giving of Shabbos. So how did Israel, Rav Salvechik says, become Kodesh? Through Shabbos. Shabbos is a gift that sanctifies us. So now, that's the Rav. So now, let's go back to the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon says, so yes, Nancy, so that's part of what we say in the Tfil Al Hadibur, the prayer for guarding our tongue. One of the things we said here is, that I should merit to guard my tongue, my mouth and my tongue from Lashon Hara Mechilas. And I should be on guard from speaking about an individual. And furthermore, about the nation of Israel. And furthermore, I should not speak about a portion of Am Yisrael. But just because there is a Jew who is different than us, or belongs to a lifestyle or a category of Jews that's different than us, it does not give us the right to slander that faction of Am Yisrael. Now, I am not talking about the Malshim Alsi Sikva. There are, unfortunately, Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, Hashem should help them find their Jewish neshama. There are categories of Jews who remove themselves from Am Yisrael, who work for the destruction of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael. We're not talking about that category of Jews. Whether it's Toalus or not to speak about them, what's the point of speaking about them? I'm not sure. You're just wasting words that Hashem gave you. But they're out of the category of Am Yisrael. They're not Im Yisrael, so they're not Am Yisrael. But the majority of Jews do not fall into those categories. The majorities of Jews love Am Yisrael and maybe just are lost and don't even know. Tinuk Shanishba, captive infants, they don't know any better. And it is very painful when we speak about other types of Jews. And it must cause tremendous pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when siblings fight, when they can't get along. We're all children of Hashem. And this is what the Vilna Gaon warns us about. We should not deviate from anything that I have written. Read this letter every week, especially on Shabbos, before and during the meal, in order to prevent idle talk, and even worse, Lashon Hara and the like, God forbid. I reiterate my request that you guide your sons and your daughters with words of kindness and words of Musar, that will find a place in their heart. So if we speak words of kindness, we'll look kindly on other people. And if we speak words of Musar, chastisement, hopefully it will impact us in a positive way. This is true especially if we merit arriving in Eretz Yisrael. So not only do we have to be extra careful with our speech on Shabbos, but it's also true if we are in Eretz Yisrael, because one must be extra cautious to follow Hashem's ways there. Where do we see that? That we must be extra cautious to follow Hashem's ways in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to take you to Parshas Achrimos. We're going to just look quickly at two psukim in Sefer Vayikra. One second. In Sefer Vayikra, Parak Yod Chas, psukim Chaf Dalad through Chaf Hey. So after giving us a whole list of arayos, forbidden physical sexual relationships, the pasuk, the psukim tell us, Parak Yod Chas in Shemos, psukim Chaf Dalad through Chaf Hey, Al Titamu B'chol Eila, do not defile yourselves, do not become impure with all of these. Because through all of these, the nations who were in the land before you defiled themselves through these forbidden physical relationships, and I'm sending them away from before you. The land becomes defiled. What do you mean? How could the land become defiled? A person, I understand, could be defiled through sin. If I speak Lashon Hara, so unfortunately, I defile myself. I am now a tame being. While I am holding that Lashon Hara in my mouth, I could do a process of teshuvah. I could work on myself. I could learn. I could take chastisement, learn Shmiras HaLashon Shir. I could learn Mashar, and I could change myself. I get rid of the tumah. But the land could become defiled. V'ef kodavana aleh. I counted her iniquity upon her. V'taki ha'aretz asyo shveha. The land vomited out. She spit out her inhabitants. So these psukim are speaking about Eretz Yisrael as if she is a person. It's warning us, you should not become defiled through the averos of Arayos. If you become defiled, the land will become defiled. If I become defiled, I'm defiled. If I become Tomei with Lashon Hara, I'm Tomei with Lashon Hara. What does it have to do with the land of Israel? If I speak Lashon Hara here, Rachmana Litzan Hashem Yirachem Alai, so I don't do anything to my front lawn. The front lawn remains the front lawn. Whatever, it's cold, the grass is dormant, it doesn't look so green, it doesn't look lush like spring and summer. It has nothing to do with what I spoke. The ground's the ground. I'm a yid, and I defile myself. In Eretz Yisrael, when we engage in sin, not only do we defile ourselves, but the land becomes defiled as well. What happens when the land becomes sick? What happens when a person becomes sick physically? If a person ingests a food that is not good, that is spoiled, they'll throw up. They'll be sick. Their body cannot handle the spoiled food, and the body vomits out the food. A person will need to use the bathroom excessively. The person will be throwing up excessively. They can't handle the spoiled food. That's what happens to Eretz Yisrael. Spiritually, she cannot handle sin. So she starts to vomit out the sin. Now, if a person, people, Rachmana Litzlan, are the cause of that defilement, the Pasuk says, V'taki aretz asyo shveha, the land spits out her inheritance. The Ramban to these psukim, Perek Yirchas, psukim Chav Dal to Chav Hei, Nachmaris, the Ramban is very lengthy. It'll probably take us 6 months, since we meet every other week, to go through that with explanation. But the Ramban explains very beautifully and very powerfully that over all other lands in the world, there's a heavenly intermediary, and above that intermediary, there's Hashem. So over America, there's the America superpower in Shemayim. We're not talking about something physical. We're talking about a very spiritual sense of being. And over Canada, there's the Captain Canada. Over America, there's Captain America. Over Australia, South Africa, we have someone from South Africa here. So over South Africa, there's a different superpower. Over those is Hashem. So Hashem's Hashkacha into these lands is not as direct. It goes from Hashem, so to speak, Captain Superpower South Africa, down to the people in the land. Captain America, down to the people in the land. So if we do a sin, there is a barrier, so to speak, between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu. Please don't leave here and think it's okay to speak Lashon Hara in Canada, United States, or South Africa. Okay? It's not. But if you look at the Ramban, he's explaining why is it that the land spits out her inhabitants if we do a virus in Eretz Yisrael. You don't see the same thing in other lands. This is land where you've already been spit out. God's hashgacha is less direct here. He is less involved in these lands, whereas his jurisdiction and supervision over Eretz Yisrael is direct. There is no Captain America over Eretz Yisrael. There's only Eretz Yisrael and its inhabitants and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So there is such a direct sense, and it's palpable. You feel it. You could feel, Millie, are you in Chutz Laaretz or Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael. Ashrayach. Ashrayach. We're Baruch Hashem, learning all over the world together this morning. Technology is really unbelievable. Unbelievable. So in Eretz Yisrael, there is no other power, heavenly power, as an intermediary or as a barrier between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when the land becomes defiled, remember, Soloveitchik says there's three sources of Kedusha. And what are they? Eretz Yisrael? No. Kedushas Hashem, Am Yisrael, and Shabbos. All other Kedushas derive from those three, including the Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael. So we infuse Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. Of Chas V'Shalom, we infuse Eretz Yisrael with Tumah. The land becomes sick, like a person who has food poisoning, and will spit out, will vomit out, like you saw in the Pasuk. The Taki Ha'aretz Asushra. It's exactly what the Vilna Gaon alludes to here. He says, I reiterate my request that you guide your sons and daughters with words of kindness and musr that will find a place in their heart. This is true especially if we merit arriving in Eretz Yisrael, because one must be extra cautious to follow Hashem's ways there. So the Vilna Gaon is saying it's okay to do a sin there for those who are in South Africa and America. It's okay. And for Millie Fried and Eretz Yisrael, she has to be more careful than everybody else. No, we all have to be the same careful. But a person has to understand that the result of our actions have an effect on the land. If we are marber b'kedusha, the land has enhanced kedusha. And if we, chas v'shalom, are marber b'tuma and avera, we infuse the land with our actions. She ingests our actions and she responds appropriately. If we give her Kedusha, so she grows and she's beautiful and she thrives and she's healthy. And if Chas V'Shalom, we give her an added dose of Tumah, she can't handle it and she becomes sick. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, we must, if we merit arriving in Eretz Yisrael, we must be extra cautious to follow Hashem's ways there. Therefore, train them as well, says the Vilna Gaon. One must work hard on one's speech and one's character traits. In other words, it's hard work. He says, you have to work hard on your speech and you have to work hard on your tikkun amidos. Who said it's going to be easy? I've told you this many times before that my brother, Abay Dov Fried, beloved Rabbi in Her Torah, I don't know if Paula Spodek's here, but her grandchildren are talmidim of my brother. So my brother told me many years ago, Michal, just because something's hard for me doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. So sometimes you find you're working on something, let's say in Inyan Lashon, in the Inyan Dibur, and you're not as successful as you want to be. It's very difficult. I just had a maisa, I was just somewhere. Merely the three sources of Kedusha, according to that piece by the Rav, are Kedushas Hashem. That's in and itself intrinsic Kedusha to Kedushas Hashem, sanctification, holiness of God's name. We can, of course, do actions that cause a Kedusha Hashem, but God's name is holy, irrespective of what I do or don't do. That holiness always remains. Kedusha Hashem, Shabbos, God invests Shabbos with Kedusha. What I choose to do on Shabbos is a different story, but Shabbos has Kedusha, objective Kedusha from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis. And the third is Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael as a nation is always Kadosh. Sometimes an individual does a sin, a group does a sin, but the nation itself can never lose its absolute Kedusha. And he says, what about Eretz Yisrael? What about Mikdash HaZerav? Those are also Kadosh. We infuse those other things with Kedusha, and all Kedusha derives from these three pillars. Well, I just had a Maisa, something happened to me. I was in a certain situation. This is very, very recent. And it was bothering me. And I debated. I didn't know. Yeah, Rabbi Fried's my brother, Nancy. He's a very beloved Rabbi Yeshiva Sar Torah. Elementary school Rabbi. Baruch Hashem. So I didn't know if I should tell my husband or not. I debated with myself. Is this to'alas if I speak to my husband about it or not to'alas? He doesn't know the people. I was not going to be naming names. It was really just to get it off my chest. Without giving details, I found it difficult for me. And I really debated, is this for Tu'els or not? And I really thought in my head, we've learned it before, and the Ramban quotes it. Oh, ties into our Shir. The Ramban quotes it to Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadoshim Yashem Elkechem, Vayikra 19:2. Parshas Kedoshim, you shall be holy, because I, the Lord God, am holy. And the Ramban says, what is Kedoshim Tiyu? Al ti navel b'shus HaTorah. Don't be a degenerate. Don't be a boor. Don't be disgusting within the parameters of Torah. So what does that mean? So the Ramban says you can eat meat. How much meat? With moderation, with a normal amount. Boy, there's portion distortion. That's novel b'shus HaTorah. You're allowed to drink wine. But how much wine does a person need to drink? Another example, the Ramban gives their speech. The Ramban says there that excessive speech falls under the category of novel b'shus HaTorah. By the way, it ties into nivel peh. Naval b'shus HaTorah is being a degenerate, disgusting, within the boundaries of Torah. So it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you can't have 5 steaks for dinner. But it says kedoshim to you. So eating 5 steaks is not a tsanua fashion in how a person, a ben Torah, should live their life. It's being a glutton. Excessive speech, the Ramban says, is under the same category. It's being excessive to the point of disgusting. Even though it doesn't say in the Torah you're not allowed to talk all day. Let's say you have Lashon Nekiya the whole day and you don't talk Lashon Hara. It doesn't say in the Torah how many words you're allowed to say a day. But talking too much inevitably leads to sin. And the Ramban quotes there, Lo sach Rabbi Chiya sicha b'teila la'olam. Rabbi Chiya never spoke wasted words. His whole life. So I debated the whole day, not the whole day. Yeah, pretty much, not the whole day. From the time it happened till later, if I should speak about it to my husband. It was really just to get off my chest. He didn't know the people. I wasn't naming any names. So he couldn't know who I was talking about. It was really just for me. I didn't know what to do. But then, actually, I want to look up a pasuk. Daaga b'leiv ish yishachena. I think it's this pasuk from Mishlei. Daaga b'leiv ish yishachena. I'm just trying to find the source for you. Daaga b'leiv ish yishachena. Let me see if this is it. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Yes. Okay, so then I thought of this pasuk. I didn't know what to do because I felt I needed to express it. But I didn't know if there was to'elus. Then I thought back to Naftali White's psak that we've quoted many times. A person is allowed to get something off of one's chest to a spouse, a close confidant, make sure it's not exaggerated. No harm comes to the other person. No harm would come to the other person because I didn't name any names. It wasn't exaggerated. It was firsthand, not hearsay. The pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Da'aga b'lev ish yishachena. A worry, and this is Mishlei 12:25, like you see I just put here on the screen. So if there is a worry in a man's heart, I'm going to put the translation here as well. Okay? If there is a concern in a man's heart, worry in a man's heart, yishachena, he has to cast it down. That means you need to get rid of it. V'davar tov yisemchena, but a good word will make one cheerful. And I remember that Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo, Zecher Tzadev Kodesh Levracha, she was Taras Moshe, was murdered on the Har Nof terror attack. It says in his book, in the book about him, HaMalach in Armitz, that he never spoke to his chavrusa in all their decades of learning. One time, the chavrusa remembers Rav Moshe Tversky speaking about something that was weighing down on his heart. He spoke about it for a minute, and then they went straight to the learning. So I needed to, I don't know if I needed, I decided I was going to share it with my husband, really just to express myself, because I needed to get off my chest. Dog, I believe, no names, it wasn't exaggerated, he doesn't even know who I was talking about, so no harm could come to the other person. I said it once, and he commiserated, and he gave me validation, and then I wanted to say it again, because I wanted to keep talking about it. Then I thought, what is the point of saying it again? You already said it. We'll express what you needed to express, the situation that I was in, the challenge that I was having in that situation with that person. I did not say names. It wasn't hearsay. It happened firsthand. No harm was coming to anybody else. When the Talmud says you're allowed to get off your chest and share, it could be based on this pasuk from Mishnah. It's the Gemara who says, if a person has a worry in his heart, he should share it with someone. I shared it. I said it once. He commiserated. He understood. He validated. And then I wanted to keep talking about it. And then I thought, what is the point of saying it a second time? I said it. I got it off my chest. Is there any to'elas in saying it more? Sometimes we like to talk about things more. And then I didn't say it a second time. I said, you said what you needed to be said. If you're still aggravated, you could tell Hashem. But Victor Miller says, go into the bathroom, turn on the sink, flush the toilet, tell Hashem, but don't say words you don't need to say. My friend says her mother said, when she heard me say that, her mother said, maybe you could say, eat chocolate and tell Hashem. Don't go into the bathroom or flush the toilet. Doesn't mean you should take your tefillin into the bathroom. It means you have something to say that no one else should hear, so tell Kosh Baruch Hu. So the second time I didn't say it. And I wanted to say it. I wanted to keep talking about it. I said what I had to say. Da'aga b'leiv ishu shachana. V'davar tov yisimchana. When you have a worry in a man's heart, he has to sometimes cast it out. V'davar tov, but a good word, yisimchana, is what really brings joy. So, going back to the Vilna Gaon, therefore, train them well. Since one must work hard on one's speech and character traits. This whole decision, I keep thinking back and forth, going through, am I allowed to say, am I not allowed to say, should I say, finally I said it based on the reason, the rationale I told you. Then I wanted to say it a second time. I said, now you don't need to say it again. Oh, says the Vilna Gaon, you have to work hard on your speech. It's a big avoda. And by working on your speech, you're working on your character traits, your midos. Rav Pam Zatzal says that the measure of a man are his midos. Why? No, yeah, measure of a man are midos. Midos doesn't mean character traits. Midos really means measure. Mida is a measure. Because the way you measure a person is through their character traits. The character traits are really a measure of a man. And only through good habits can we control ourselves. In other words, we have to train ourselves to proper speech. We have to train ourselves to think before we speak. We have to train ourselves to think, is this nevel peh? Is this ayin ra? Is this lashon hara? Should I be saying this or not saying this? How's this going to work for me after 120 when they show me this on the screen of my life? What exactly am I going to say? I don't know. I don't know if I made the right decision, if I should have spoken about it or not. I think I've filled the parameters of what I've learned in the past. I did what I feel I needed to do and then didn't say it a second time. Then the Vilna Gaon says, all beginnings are hard. Every sentence in this letter is a gem. Every sentence is a whole Sefer Torah. That's right. It also helps with deciding if you should offer unsolicited advice. Very well said. What purpose will it serve? That's a very good application. That's also called Chadibra speech. If I'm offering unsolicited advice, a person must think to themselves, what purpose will this serve? If it will not accomplish anything, if it will increase animosity, if it will turn a person away, if you know automatically that they won't listen to you, just because you feel the need to offer your unsolicited advice, it might not be for to'alas, it might not be for a purpose. And we have to weigh very carefully before we go and speak to somebody else about what we perceive they should be doing. Very, very good. Ah, oh, very nice. So someone else says she'll often tell her husband something without names. He will validate and show me how to judge others favorably. Very, very nice. Okay. Next, Vilna Gaon says all beginnings are hard. Every sentence in this letter is a gem. So let's go back. Where is that from? Where does Rashi quote that on Chumash? I'm going to take you to Sefer Bereishis. No, Sefer Shmos. I don't know why I said that. It was just a mistake. Okay, Sefer Shmos by Matan Torah. Parak Yud Tas Pasuk Hey. But Pasuk says, this is the prelude to Matan Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Va'ato and now, im shmotu shmu b'koli. If you will surely listen to my voice, Ushmartim es brisi, you will guard my covenant. V'yisim li segula mikala amim, you will be to me more treasure than all the nations, ki li kala aretz. The whole earth is mine. Atem to you, Ramlechas Kohen v'goy Kadosh. You will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Eile hadvarim asher tadabra el b'nei Yisrael. So Hashem told Moshe that these are the words you should speak to b'nei Yisrael. So why does Hashem say excuse me, va'ata, and now, ata with an ayin, im shamal tishma b'koli, and now, if you will surely listen to my voice, and you will guard my covenant, and then you will be my treasure. Why doesn't it just say, if you will listen to my voice, and guard my covenant, you will be to me more treasure than all the nations, the whole earth is mine. So we have to understand, and we already know, that no word in Chumash is superfluous or extra. So what does ata teach us? And now, if you listen to my voice, so Rashi says, im tekablu yarav lachem mikan ve'elach, shekol haschalos kashos. Rashi says, if you accept the Torah upon yourself, it will be pleasant and sweet for you from here on. However, you have to know, kol haschalos kashos, all beginnings are hard. Because Rashi understands, Klal Yisrael is coming to receive the Torah. They don't have a Torah yet. They don't have 613 mitzvahs and hundreds, if not thousands, of mitzvahs. There are banan that guide and shape every action in our lives. So Hashem says, I understand it's going to be hard for you in the beginning. You're embarking on a new program of change, and you've never had this, a new structure of life, a new society. All beginnings are hard. However, if you accept the Torah, it will be so pleasant, it will be so sweet, it will be so beautiful from here on. And if you guard this covenant, then you will be treasured, and then you will become a Meleches Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh. This is the line that the Vilna Gaon quotes. He just writes, all beginnings are hard. All beginnings are hard, and he's talking about specifically in Yanni Shmir Shalashan. Therefore, train them well, since one must work hard on one's speech and character traits, and only through good habits can we control ourselves. All beginnings are hard. Afterwards, one is worthy of praise. I was thinking to myself something very, very interesting. This va'ata, and now, if you'll surely listen to my voice, where Rashi says all beginnings are hard, but if you accept it upon yourself, it will be sweet and pleasant going forward. It's interesting that the Vilna Gaon quotes Dafka, this phrase, but this teaching in the context of Inyan Shmir Salashan in his letter. Look what comes after the word Va'ata. Im Shemo Tishmu Bakoli. You need to be a listener. If you want to be successful in Inyan Shmir Salashan, it's not always about talk, 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 talk. Learn how to be silent and learn how to listen. It's very famous that the letters of listen and silent are the same. L-I-S-T-E-N, S-I-L-E-N-T, they're the same letters. But in order to be an effective listener, you need to be silent. Now, this doesn't mean Im Shema Tishmu Bakoli, you should go around listening to Lashon Hara, and then you will guard yourself from speech. Im Shema Tishmu Bakoli. Sometimes we need to be silent, Shmirat HaLashon, guard our tongues, in order to hear the voice of God. Does the Kosh Baruch Hu want me to say this? That's the ultimate test. Not does the other person want to hear this. Not does the person want me to say this. Not what does my Yetzer want me to do. Does the Kosh Baruch Hu want me to say this? Does the Kosh Baruch Hu want me to light a fire on Shabbos? No. Does he want me to eat basar b'chalav? I'm not talking about a case of emergency. Does he want me to eat basar b'chalav? No. Does the Kosh Baruch Hu want me to eat chametz on Pasach? No. Does the Kosh Baruch Hu want me to say this? The only way we know if Hashem wants me to say something is if I listen to his voice. Now listen to the chatter and the Twitter and the Facebook and the live streams happening all around me. Va'ata, and now, says the Vilna Gaon, now means all beginnings are hard. Vilna Gaon doesn't say, the Vilna Gaon quotes it. All beginnings are hard. He's saying in the middle of giving chizak in Inyan Shmir Salashan. It's hard in the beginning if you decide I'm going to change my speech pattern. I'm going to change the way my tongue runs. I'm going to change the way I see others, which will change my speech about others. How will I change? Even though beginnings are hard, Im Shema Tishmu Bekoli. I will be silent more often. And that will allow me to listen. Listen to who? Bekoli. Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I'm able, and we're going to bring our shir full circle, if I'm able to now know that the beginning is going to be hard. It's very hard to change your pattern of speech. It's not easy. However, it can be done. Yarav lecha mikan ve'ilach. It'll be pleasing for you here forward. Im Shema Tishmu Bekoli. It will only happen if you're silent more in order to listen. Listen to who? Listen to the voice of God. What will you be if you listen to the voice of God and guard your tongue? Te'yuli Mamechas Konim V'goy Kadosh. We began with Kedusha, and we end with seeing the path to Kedusha comes from being more silent to the world around us, listening more to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we will truly have the beauty and the benefit and the pleasure of guarding our tongue. Even if it's beginning hard, it'll be pleasant here on. And then we will truly be a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh. We will bring an elevated sanctity to the world. We will enhance Kedushas Hashem, so to speak. We will tap into the beauty of the Kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh, and we will ensure that Am Yisrael remains a holy nation. The way in which a person wants to go, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us to go on this path. I wish everybody a gevaldik week of Besuras Tovas V'Yeshuas. Thank you so much, and Kol Tov to all. Thank you all.